The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. While Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside, wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. So I thought I'd tell you a little bit about the first reading today from the book of the prophet Micah, because I'm absolutely convinced not only that you would love all these mysterious Old Testament texts, but I'm also convinced that a lot of people hear them and they just don't know what they mean. Okay, so I'd love to share with you the riches that you find hidden here in the Old Testament. So a little tiny bit about the book of the prophet Micah. We heard it yesterday in our first reading. We heard it today in our first reading. If tomorrow wasn't a feast day, we'd hear it tomorrow in our first reading. Okay? Now, to understand some of these Old Testament readings, it always requires just a little bit of history. Okay? So just a little bit of history to make it all make sense. And the little bit of history you have to understand to decode the book of the prophet Micah is to know that the main event at this time in history was the rampaging army of Assyria. Okay? That's the main event. The year, it's 730, 720 BC, give or take. And the big event in world history right now is the army of Assyria is rolling like a runaway steamroller. It's conquering everybody in its path. Basically, everything that is today Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, eastern Turkey, all of it was the Assyrian Empire. And they conquered and they conquered and they conquered some more. And then they conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. And now, the army of Assyria is standing at the gates of the city of Jerusalem. War chants are echoing down the alleyways. Sabers are rattling. Thousands of torches are waving and lighting up the night sky. And the people are scared to death. And they say, "How could God allow this to happen? We're God's people. How could God possibly allow this to happen?" And that's where the prophet Micah speaks up. And he says, "People, the reason why this is happening is because you broke the covenant with God. That's why this is happening." This is really clear in yesterday's first reading. You know, where he calls on the mountains and the hills to be my witnesses against my people. "People," he says, this is yesterday's first reading, "what have I done to you? What have I, in what way have I wearied you? Answer me. I brought you up from the land of Egypt, from the place of slavery I released you. Why is all of this happening? Because you broke the covenant that I made with you, people. You've turned your hearts from the love of God to the love of money. You've turned your hearts to the love of comfort and ease. You've begun to worship all the false gods of all the pagan nations. And why? Because you want to turn a quick profit in the marketplace. Because you want a life free from conflict and a life of ease. And you have betrayed me, says the Lord. You've broken the covenant." That's the message of the prophet Micah to the people. Now, it might help to understand the difference between a covenant and a contract. A real important difference. A contract is an exchange of things. A covenant is an exchange of persons. In a contract, you write up a little document and it says, "This is mine and that is yours." In a covenant, you say, "You are mine and I am yours." And God swore a covenant to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, and the people have betrayed it. However, Just because the people have turned their backs on God means that God will never turn his back on his people. And that's why you hear in today's first reading words of pardon and clemency and compassion and mercy and casting all of your sins into the depths of the sea, because even if the people turn their hearts against God, God will never abandon his people. And this is why sometimes God will allow extreme measures to win his people back. This is the message of Micah to the people. It's one of these things that we face all the time in our lives. Honestly, on a daily basis, we face this question. Why does God allow bad things to happen? Where are you, God? Right? We're just like the people of Israel. Now, understand, God never causes evil to happen. But he does allow evil to happen. And I tell you, it's the funniest thing in human psychology. The further away we are from God, the less we understand. The more we actually are guilty, the more innocent we think we are, right? But anybody with a conscience can recognize when we've turned our hearts away from God, and he sometimes allows evil to happen as a way of shaking us up, winning us back. Why does he allow it to happen? Understand this, three reasons, okay? Three reasons why God allows evil to happen. Number one, because good will always come about as a consequence. Number two, because the good that comes about is always greater than the evil that's allowed. And number three, because in the unfolding of history, there just is no other way. Three reasons. Because good comes from it, because the good is always greater than the evil that's allowed, and because there's no other way. That's why your good Heavenly Father sometimes allows evil things to befall us. Now, we are not passive recipients of God's divine providence. We're active cooperators with it. The people of Israel, the people of Jerusalem, they were not destroyed by the armies of Assyria. They weren't destroyed. They heard the words of the prophet Micah. They heard the words of the prophet Isaiah, who is a contemporary of the prophet Micah. They turned back to God, and one day, the armies of Assyria, they just packed up and went home. Completely inexplicable. They just packed up and went home, because we're not passive recipients. We're active cooperators. And God wants to form you with his own hand. He's got a plan for your life, a magnificent plan. He's going to form you in the image of his only son. And how we respond to how God wants to form us, that has so much to do with how God forms us. He would form you like a potter molding clay if he possibly could. But for that to happen, we have to be docile and malleable and gentle and trusting and humble and repentant. He'll form you like a potter forming clay if he possibly can, but if we won't be that way for him, he'll form us by hammer blows, okay? He doesn't want to have to do that. And that's why it's so very important that we learn this lesson. One of the lessons, though, from the book of the prophet Micah is even though we know and instinctively that's true for us as individuals, in some mysterious fashion, that's true all across society as well. And what that means is, every time you and I make a choice to turn away from our obstinate self-will and sin, and somehow a blessing redounds to every person in the world, and we lead this world one step closer to freedom and peace. A little tiny lesson today from the book of the prophet Micah, right? Something that we can turn to in our hearts and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to put into practice. St. Lawrence of Brindisi, pray for us.